Hi, this is Jeff Siegel, the Wine Curmudgeon, and this is the inaugural Wine Curmudgeon podcast. And our guest today is my good friend and fellow wine guy, shameless plug here, two wine guys, John Ratcher. And John, we're going to talk for a couple of minutes on how people can find cheap wine, what to look for, what kind of stores to go to, what labels to look for, what regions of the world. John, how are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. And are you excited, John, about being the very first person to do this?
Oh, I think the guinea pig is always excited to be the first one, so no, this should be fun.
And John, I won't make you tell your story about how you got in the wine business. We'll save that for another time.
Thank you.
A little bit about cheap wine. Now, as for a living, what you do, tell everybody what you do for a living and why you know about cheap wine.
Well, I have a wine brokerage company, and I represent clients primarily in Texas, but I have clients in Washington State, Missouri, California, and Argentina. And I've been in the wine business one form or another for many, many years, but I work primarily with wines that are in the $10 to $15, $16 price range. And, of course, deal with people at wine tastings and wine festivals constantly talking about wine, and people are always looking for bargains, calling restaurants, talking to restaurant people. And I think people are more aware now that they can find good wines if they don't have to pay $25, $30 up for anything.
Well, that is, of course, as you well know, my reason for being in the wine business. Are there a couple of tips, pointers, somebody who's maybe new at this and is confused by all of the labels and all of the names, just in general, to get them started on how they can find good quality cheap wine?
Well, one of the things I think is find a reputable retail wine outlet and get to know their wine manager. If you find a store that has a good manager in it, they will recommend things to you that are not that are good values. You can read wine publications, but I tend to kind of steer people actually away from that. As far as the big mainstream things, I think what you do, I think the Wine Curmudgeon, I think certainly reading, and there's so much information online about wine now, but I think reading and talking to people, asking questions, there's one way to find out. Don't just go with the walk in and see the brand you've seen, you know, for the last 15 or 20 years and go first brand you recognize. I think that's the reason that it's good to get to know someone in the store that can recommend wines to you.
If you get a chance and you're just wandering around the store, are there some regions of the world that you would recommend? Are there some varietals you would recommend that would be a good place to start?
Well, certainly. I think if you're looking for really good values, I think Spanish wines and wines from New Zealand are particularly good. In Southern Blanche, New Zealand, I rarely ever find one that I don't like. Spanish wines have great values in reds, actually, and some whites. Don't just limit yourself to California, and France. Look for other things, look for other countries. There's some nice Italian wines that are pretty affordable, but I think Australia, New Zealand, and Spain are probably some of the best values. And Chile and Argentina.
Yeah, we can't forget the Argentina. You sell wine from Argentina.
I do, and the ones I sell from there tend to be on the more expensive side. But there's some wonderful wines, particularly the Malbecs, that they've become so noted for. In Argentina, you can find really nice Malbecs in the $8 to $15 range.
You mentioned Malbec. Are there some other varietals that you can look at, people can look at, they can say, okay, I can try that. There's a good chance that if it's cheap, it's going to be good. Because most of us, I know when I started this, all we know are Cabernet and Chardonnay, and there's just not that much great inexpensive Cabernet or Chardonnay. So you've got to look at other varietals. What varietals would you recommend?
Well, of course, people, Merlots are so popular now, and you tend to find those in lower price range, but Pinot Noir is a difficult one to find in a low price range, but in Chile, they do the Carmenere, which you can find some good values in that. You don't find them often. Bernardas from Argentina are really, really nice varietals. And some of the lighter varietals, the Sangioveses, Mr. Tiffany of Spain, Grenache, which Grenache or Grenache in Spain is one of the most widely planted varieties in the world. And the other is Syrah, or as the Australians call it, Shiraz.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of $10 Shiraz. All right, John, so you're in the liquor store, the grocery store, with 7 trillion Shirazes, because God knows there's enough of them. Are there any tips, are there any tricks how you can tell a good Shiraz, a good $10 Shiraz from a bad one?
No, it's going to be a little bit of luck of the draw unless you can flag someone down in the store, but sometimes in stores you're not going to find anybody to wait on you. So, look for a label that's appealing to you. I don't necessarily look for all the cutesy animal labels because there's got to be a million of those, and it's sort of a bandwagon of, you know, what kind of animal can we put on here. But look for if the store has descriptions of the wine, which oftentimes they will have. Read the descriptions if that sounds like something you would like. Read the back label. See if it says information that looks like it's good. Looks like they put a little thought, a little time into what they put on the back label. And look at the front label. Look at the design. I mean, don't be afraid to shy away from a name or a label that appeals to you. I mean, obviously, if that's the case, they put some thought into designing the label. But one thing don't be afraid of is a screw cap on the wine. I mean, you're going to see screw caps on a lot of wines between $8 and $15, and you're going to see screw caps on very, very expensive wines. And that's actually a good thing, not a bad thing. You don't have a ceremony of putting a cork, but screw caps keep you from ever having a corked bottle. Screw caps are going to be on wines that are, for the most part, meant for current consumption. So, if you're an effective seal, you have a better chance of picking up a good $10 wine in the screw cap than probably a good $10 wine with a cork on it.
That's a very good point, and I know you and I talk about this a lot, and we joke about it, but if I had my way, all wine would be in screw caps, because I'm real tired of using the corkscrew, and I want a glass of wine. Shiraz, Sauvignon Blanc, I believe you mentioned, some of the South African grapes. What about if you want something that's Cabernet-like? I know you're a big fan of blends. You think, especially for an expensive wine, that you can look for a blend?
Well, again, almost all of your either Spanish or Italian wine, red wines, are going to be blends. You can sometimes find some Bordeaux that are not, you know, that are in under $20, and those are always going to be blends of Cabernet, Merlot, perhaps Cabernet Franc. But, if you see a name, there are all kinds of proprietary names that if you see a proprietary name on a particular red wine, it's probably going to be a blend. So look at the back label, and generally, if it's a good winery, they're going to list the varietals on the back label so that you can see what it's a blend of. And that's one of only two pet peeves I really have in the wine business, and one is that people, if they hear the word blend, sometimes they think that's an inferior wine, when in fact, most of the great wines of the world are blends of more than one grape. Even in this country, I'm going off in tangent, but even in this country, Cabernet is rarely 100%. It usually has some Merlot blended with it. It has to be 75% to be labeled as a Cabernet, a Chardonnay, a Sauvignon Blanc, or other varietals. But if it says red wine on there, don't be afraid of it, because if it is a blend, and if there's no varietal more than 75%, they can't list a varietal on the label. So it's very, don't be afraid to pick up a wine that says red blend. Just look at the back label and see what it says.
And that's something that drives me crazy, which you've heard a million times, so I don't need to go into it again. But people are afraid to try wine, afraid to try different wines. And frankly, I know that we've talked about this a trillion times too, but the only way you're ever going to learn about wine is to drink as much of it as possible.
Well, that's the nice thing about looking at wines that, we're talking about $10. I mean, you and I have tasted some wines before that were in the $6 to $8 retail range that were not wines that are just, they're not stunning wines, but they're wines you can just sit and enjoy drinking. They taste good. They're going to be nice by themselves. They're nice with foods. We tried a couple of Spanish wines that time that I just sort of knocked out that they didn't even make a wine of that quality and sell it for $6.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And that's got a lot to do with what you were talking about by regions of the world, because most of the regions of the world that you had mentioned, the land is a lot cheaper and labor is a lot cheaper, and that makes a big difference.
Well, that's the nice thing too about a wine that's not more than about $10. If you don't like it, you haven't lost a whole lot. If you don't like it, you know to go another direction. So just, try things, and remember to try it with food. If you try a wine that you don't particularly think you like, if you try it with an appropriate food, it may change your perception totally. But those wines are, they're made to go with food, and good winemakers always style their wines to pair well with food. So, try it. Eat it with something, kind of cheese, try it with a dish, see how you like it.
Hey, well, listen, I think this worked out pretty well. Thank you very much, John, for being the very first person on the Wine Curmudgeon podcast. This is Jeff Siegel, the Wine Curmudgeon. May your glass always be full, and may you always enjoy what you're drinking.